where I'm at now. Should I start this? We haven't started yet.
Yeah, we've been going for 4 minutes.
Yeah, but we've also been shit-talking, so we're going to have to cut it out.
Oh, yeah. Minutes. All of it.
Yeah, it's okay. Alright. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Future Is Bright.
That was a hard mark. K on that.
Yeah, I don't know why I tend to do that. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Bridget.
Happy Thursday for everyone who's listening on a Thursday.
It is Thursday.
Yeah. I mean,
sorry. It's okay. I was looking at the feature.
Yeah, that's fine. We're looking at TikToks. I don't know. I'm feeling good today. We just had pizza.
That pizza was good.
It was really
good. Actually, I can't wait to eat a cold piece later.
Oh, that sounds good too.
I love cold pizza.
You know what I've been dreaming of, and it's probably because I've been seeing a bunch of TikToks. Taco Bell. I've been seeing a bunch of TikToks because the Mexican pizza is back.
Jimmy just got that today.
Is it good? I've never had it.
I've never had one. I don't know.
I don't know why. I've been just dreaming of Taco Bell.
Taco Bell? So bad. Fucks me up.
Though. Me too. Like, so bad. But I've just been dreaming of it because...
What do you get?
I usually get a Crunchwrap Supreme, and that's because that was my grandpa's favorite, like... He used to bring home, like... Because my sister used to live with him for a little while, and he would bring home the, you know how they would have, like, the biggie boxes or, like, whatever it was? So he would bring those home and eat half of it and then put half of it in the fridge and then eat the other half, like, later on in the night, which is disgusting because it's Taco Bell.
Old Taco Bell?
Yeah. Like, I used to find it funny because you, like, never hear of old people eating, like, Taco Bell.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Like, unheard of. But he loved it. It was, like, his favorite thing. So I have to get a Crunchwrap Supreme. But normally when I go to Taco Bell... I go to the one that has a Pizza Hut connected, and I get Pizza Hut.
The one that is on Sunrise?
Yeah.
Hey. The ones that's on Sunrise now does not do Pizza Hut anymore. Just
the
so
one
you know.
Right here?
Yep.
No.
Yeah, we went the other day, and Jimmy wanted to get breadsticks, and she's like, oh, we don't do Pizza Hut products anymore.
That is devastating.
Yeah. Sorry to ruin your night.
No.
Jimmy was pissed.
Where am I supposed to get Pizza Hut from?
I don't eat Pizza Hut, so.
Hi.
What's up?
I can't believe that Pizza Hut doesn't exist on Sunrise Highway anymore.
Yeah, I think it still says it, but I don't think that it's
Pizza
there.
Pizza Hut's going out of business.
That's so upsetting.
They out-pizzaed the Hut.
They did. They
succeeded. That was the only reason I really went to Taco Bell, was for the Pizza Hut.
Yeah, well, the breadsticks are so good.
Yeah, that's upsetting. I think there's one by Ronnie that's still like a Pizza Hut. But I'm not that I ever really go to like.
Well,
Taco Bell.
Yeah, but like.
But when
you
I
had
did,
the opportunity,
right,
to,
right,
and it was always Pizza Hut.
Right, exactly. We took a pretzel break, right then and there.
Yeah.
And body armor
knee to the
knee damage break.
Knee damage.
It's fine. It's fine. Do we have any news drama? Anything going on to talk about before I hop into my case?
Have you been watching the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial?
I have, and I think it's crazy, Amber Heard, I think she definitely has to be on drugs.
Yeah.
Like, and it's crazy to me that she has gotten away with it for this long.
Yeah.
Like, it's blowing my mind.
Yeah. She's literally psychotic.
But
also, at the same time, she's an actor.
Yeah.
Or actress.
Right.
So,
right.
Like, are you being,
right.
Are you acting?
Because right.
Johnny Depp certainly was when he was
right.
on the stand. So,
I didn't
like,
see him on the stand.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was, like, listen, do not come for me.
Right.
I'm on Johnny Depp's side. But.
I'm trying to be partial. I am on Johnny Depp's side because, you know, like, the world wants us to be, but, like.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be partial because I've genuinely only started watching it because of the whole, like, because of TikTok and it becoming crazy.
Well, my thing is like, this is, like, a defamation lawsuit.
Right.
So, like, he's suing her because she put out an article defaming him.
Right.
Basically, which is true.
Right.
And, like, the thing is that, like, her lawyers are trying to make it, like, oh, like, she was, like, he's a drug addict and he's
right.
an alcoholic and he beat the shit out of her. Which, like, two of those things are true.
Right.
One of them is not.
Right.
Nobody ever said that he didn't do drugs.
Right.
Because he has. And
right.
he's, everybody knows that.
Right.
The other one is, everybody knows that he was at one point an alcoholic.
Right.
Everybody knows that. It's
right.
not a fucking secret.
Right.
But it's, like, the fact that, like, every piece of, like, evidence that he beat the shit out of her is just not working out
right.
in what they want it to be because it didn't happen.
Right.
And, like.
And it's more, like, she beat the shit out of him. And...
Yeah. Which is, like, crazy. Ugh. And his lawyer, though. The girl,
mm-hmm. I know
fucking
she's
superstar.
Killed it.
She is great,
and people are now speculating that they're dating, and it's like, well, his lawyer and her.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
And I keep seeing the TikTok of like, she's walking out of court. First of all, I keep seeing a TikTok, which I don't know why I'm seeing this, and maybe you'll know why. I keep seeing a TikTok of them walking out of court, and there's alpacas, like, just randomly, like, two alpacas, like, people have them as pets, and they're taking pictures with them.
Well, it is California. Weird shit happens in California.
Yeah, I don't know. So, like, she's walking out, and, like, I think a paparazzi guy is asking her. She's like, he's like, the people want to know, like, are you and Johnny dating? And she doesn't deny it. Like, she doesn't say no.
She's also a lawyer, though.
She just starts laughing. Like, she's
a
like,
lawyer. Like, she's...
You can't really...
She's not gonna say jack shit about anything.
I mean, she's obviously not dating her client, but, like, it's, like, she just, like, doesn't say no, and that, like, also... And she probably also knows, like, oh, this is gonna get people talking, like, you know?
Even more than they already
so
are.
So it's funny to, like, think about.
It's just the whole thing is so wild.
Yeah, and I heard that it ends next week. So,
it was so funny because, like, it was, like, went on for, like, 3 weeks, and mm-hmm. then the fucking judge had a vacation.
Did she? Like, in the middle?
She was like, I'm going away.
Me.
So they took a week.
I would need it.
They took, like, a week recess.
Wow.
And then they came back.
I would need that.
The poor fucking judge, yeah. Dude. The woman's going through it.
Yeah. But the funniest part of, like, the whole, there's one thing with the Camille, which is his lawyer, when she was, like, what the fuck is it called? Talking to Amber about, cross-examining Amber about, like, her trying to say, like, Amber said she donated her whole entire thing, and, like, the pledge versus donated, I was dying, because she just kept saying pledge.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, it's two different things.
Because she was like, oh, I use pledge and donate synonymously, and Camille was like, well, I don't, so.
Right, they're, like, two different things, like, pledge means you're going to donate.
And then my favorite part about her is that, like about the lawyer, is that she'll ask the same question over and over and over and over and over again, and then she does not get the answer, and she just goes, okay. And, like, she's like, I think everybody here gets the point. And I'm like, how stupid
it's
this
so
is.
So funny. Yeah, so I am very interested to see the,
he's gonna win.
Case. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he said that he would never play Jack Sparrow ever again, and Disney offered him a contract again.
And he said no, right?
I don't know, because, like, first of all, because, like, Disney said that they would never hire him again.
Right.
And it's, like, now they're saying that they would, because how fucking good for his career and for Disney would it be for his first movie to come back out of this whole fucking shitstorm as a fucking Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Right. Like, yeah.
It would be great. Yeah. And it'd be good for him, because it'd upstart his career again. Right. And it'd be fucking phenomenal for Disney, because everybody and their mother would go see it.
She was an actress, right?
She is an actress.
I've never seen anything with her in
Did you see Aquaman?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not into that kind of stuff.
I don't know what they're going to do about the... This is, like, fucking movie central, but...
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't really care.
No.
But I don't know what they're going to do about Aquaman, because Aquaman 2 is supposed to come out next year.
And she's supposed to be in it?
And she's in it.
Oh, is she?
I'm assuming that they already filmed it, considering it comes out next year, and those types of movies take a long time to edit, because it's a lot of CGI.
Right.
And she plays a major role in the first one. Hmm. So I'm assuming she plays a major role in the second one, and they should cut her out of it if she loses this, even if she doesn't, because nobody is going to go see that movie.
She's also a really bad actress. I mean, I have to say, in this lawsuit, she's a really bad actress. Yeah. Like, it's pissing me off, though, at every single answer she looks at the jury.
At the jury?
That's, like, really bad, like, your lawyers told you to do that, and you're, like, really, really playing it. Yeah. Like, that's what's
going on.
And
her whole speech about how, like, Johnny won't look at her. Yeah. And he goes, I don't want to.
He literally, I died. Like, he said, he told her in a fight, I will never look at you again, and he damn well didn't. Like,
and the other thing that people are saying are, like, if he abused you that much, you would not be looking him in the eyes, and you do it every 4 seconds.
And then I saw a video of him, like, he, like, went to go, like, walk out of court while she was going off the stand.
And she
overplayed it, like, you're a bad actress, like, in that case. Like, that was, like, bro, like, come on. Like, and he literally was just like, all right, I'll step aside.
Yeah,
so he
like,
just,
okay.
Like, so dramatic. It's ridiculous.
My favorite thing that I've heard from this whole trial process is somebody was like, why did I think that Johnny Depp was a mysterious Englishman that moved to Kentucky?
Me.
I was like, he's not English. He's American. Like, he's never been English.
I know. I always used to think he was creepy. Like, always.
I love Johnny
Depp. Like, I've always thought he was very creepy. I still do because, like,
well, I mean, he's in
persona.
A lot of, like, weird things. But, I mean, the first thing that he was in that most people know him from, like, my mom's age is 21 Jump Street.
Really? The original, I guess?
Yeah, the TV show.
Right. Oh, the TV show.
Yeah.
Here I am, like, 21 Jump Street, the original.
Well, I mean, it is.
I know, but I thought it was a movie.
No. And then the thing that I know him from first is Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, yeah. That might be why I find him creepy.
Yeah. And then, obviously, Pirates.
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll keep you guys updated on that.
Anyway.
Yeah. Now that we've gotten to our long-winded Pirates talk, we're gonna go on to my case. If you guys hear me turning my page, maybe I should sit up. Do you think I should sit up? All right. So I am doing the case of, sorry, if you hear my papers crinkling, no you don't.
You hear my papers crinkling? They've been in her backseat of her car for 2 weeks now. So they're...
We've been trying to record this for 2 weeks and it's been sitting in my car.
Wait, hold on,
for
I should move this.
Okay. Okay.
So oh, not double-sided?
Yeah, I didn't know it was double-sided.
So how many majors do you have now that's double-sided? 24?
Let's see. So it's total 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pages.
So 12.
Yeah, it's 12. But, like, the middle, it starts to get a little, like, big.
Oh, okay.
So, okay. Yeah, all right.
Go on.
So I'm doing the case of, I always do this. I forget to, like, look at the pronunciation of the last name. Cassie Jo Stoddard, I'm going to say.
What is her name?
Cassie.
Cassie.
Yeah.
I heard Catsy.
Oh.
And I was like, that's an interesting name.
That would be
name.
An interesting name, yeah.
But Cassie.
Cassie Jo Stoddard. Stoddard. Stoddart. Stoddard.
Wait, say it again.
Cassie Jo
Stoddard. Spell the last name.
Stoddart.
Yeah, I guess. That's how I would say it.
Yeah. She was born on December 21st of 1989. She was, hold on, why did I not, in Idaho.
Idaho? Nah. Utaho. Sorry. Anyway, go on. She probably got murdered. I shouldn't be saying
she
something
did.
Like that. Yeah.
I'm surprised you don't know about this case. You do once I go, like, deeper, because I
Maybe.
Guess you don't know her name up. You do, you definitely do. She had an older sister named Christy and a younger brother, Andrew. Her parents were not together when the story took place.
Okay.
And I couldn't really find any information on her father, but, you know, whatever.
Fuck her.
Her siblings were very close with their grandparents, and they lived in a house with their mother and their stepfather growing up. Cassie was a talented artist and loved music, and she was smart and very strong-willed. Her brother, Andrew, described her as a role model, and even though she was only a year and a half older than him, he, like, described her as, like, his role model and, like,
okay.
You know. And he says that even though, that they were not only siblings, that they were best friends.
Yeah,
at the time the story takes place, Cassie was a junior at Pocatello High School. It was at this school that she met her boyfriend named Matt Beckham.
Oh, I know the story
yeah,
now.
I knew you didn't do it.
Gotcha. I didn't know her name,
yeah.
But now I know it.
Yeah. So as of September 2006, the two had been dating for 5 months. Cassie was known to her family as being a responsible straight-A student. She, quote, didn't do anything but attend school. The sheriff who was responsible for her case said, she didn't do anything but be friends with somebody else and just about everybody. So basically it was just everybody's friend.
Yeah.
On September 22nd, 2006, 16-year-old Cassie Jo Stoddard was house-sitting for her aunt and uncle just a few miles away from her own residence in Pocatello, Idaho. Since the house is in a pretty remote area, Cassie asked her aunt and uncle if Matt could come and hang out with her in the evenings, and they told her that would be fine. At 6 p.m. that evening, Matt arrived at the house. and the two watched a movie, specifically the movie Kill Bill Volume 2.
Never seen that movie.
Me either, and don't want to. Why? Definitely don't want to. I don't like scary movies.
It's not scary.
No?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so.
I mean, with a name like Kill Bill.
It's like a...
Western movie?
So. No. I don't really know what it's about. I've never seen it. All I know is that the girl wears a yellow jumpsuit. And
really?
She's got knives.
Oh.
It's a girl.
With a name called Kill Bill, I would just assume.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Okay, well, anyway. Neither of us have seen it, so. Matt also invited his two other friends to come over, Brian Draper and Tori Adamick? Adamick? Yeah, we'll just go with that.
Sure.
He's an asshole anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean.
Brian and Tori were classmates of Matt and Cassie's at Podocolo High School, and while Cassie considered them friends, they weren't particularly close. In fact, Cassie was a little annoyed with Matt for inviting them over without asking her. I would be fucking pissed, you know?
I'd be like, get the fuck out of my house.
I would be like, this is my fucking aunt's house. What are you doing here? Matt told Cassie that it would be okay and that they were just going to hang out and watch a movie. Brian and Tori arrived between 6:30 and 7 p.m., and Cassie gave the boys a tour of her aunt and uncle's house. While she was showing them the basement, Brian unlocked the door, which led them to the backyard without Cassie's knowledge. Once Cassie finished the tour, the four returned to the living room and began watching the movie. About halfway through the movie, Brian and Tori announced that they were bored and that they wanted to leave. They told Matt and Cassie that they were going to go to the movie theater instead, which I always thought was stupid because you're watching a movie at your house. Like,
why are you going to go to a movie theater?
Like, the whole, every time I saw this, like, case being told, I'm like, why are you going to go if you're stupid? Yeah. But at this point, that they had already been at the house for about 2 hours. So they've been there for 2 hours and they said, all right, we're fucking bored with this. We're going to go home.
Okay.
Go to the movie theater. So whatever. About 15 minutes after they left, the power in the house went out. Being plunged into the complete darkness of the night.
Wow, that is a dramatic sentence.
Yeah, you know, I like to dramatize
it. Love to keep the drama.
Obviously, being in complete darkness made Matt and Cassie both uneasy. They knew the circuit breaker was in the basement, but they were both spooked. There's no way that they were going to go down there, so instead they sat on the couch, huddled together, hoping that the lights would eventually come back on.
Me.
Yeah.
Wait, so do we know why the lights went out?
No.
Okay.
Not at this point.
No, yeah, that's what I asked.
Okay. At the same time, one of the dogs that they were babysitting began growling at the door, which led to the basement stairs.
Yeah, see, I would have gone out of the house. I would have fucking called 911.
Yep. Which obviously added to Matt and Cassie's fear. Matt had a bad feeling, so he called his mother and asking if he could stay the night with Cassie, being a good boyfriend.
I would have been like, hey, Ma, can we stay the house at our house? Because...
I'd be like, I wouldn't even ask. I'd be like, we're leaving.
The house is haunted, is my first thought.
Yeah. His mother said no, and that she was and that she was going to pick him up as planned. I'm feeling like he probably played this off like it wasn't, like, a big scary deal. Or he was like, Mom, all the lights cut out, and, like, the dog's growling, and she's like... The power went out and the dog is just barking like you're coming
home.
Or
like she like thought that like, oh, you're just trying to like sleep with your girlfriend.
Right. Like nobody's at this house type of thing. There were differing accounts regarding what his mother's response was. Mm-hmm. Some say that she told Matt that Cassie could come and stay at their house, while others mention that there was no mention of her saying like Cassie could come over.
Yeah.
So regardless of whether Cassie was invited to stay or not, she felt responsible for the house and the animals and didn't want to leave, so she didn't go.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Can't fault the girl for that.
Right, no. Eventually, some of the lights came back on, so...
Some of them?
Yeah, that's what it says.
That's only some of them.
Yeah, like, it didn't, the whole, they...
The whole circuit breaker.
Didn't turn back on. Random. this made Matt and Cassie feel a little bit better, and then at around 11 p.m., Matt's mother came and picked him up, so Cassie and Matt said their goodbyes. Normal. On his way back home, Beckham called Tori's cell, I'm going to use their first name, to see where he and, Brian. Sorry. It goes by last name, first name, and I always, like, flip it. That's so annoying. So he called to see where him and Adam were. Sorry, where Tori and Brian were. Where did I get Adam? Oh, the last name.
Yeah. Oh, that doesn't help that the last name is the first name. Yeah, it's the first name.
But Matt could barely hear what Tori was saying when he answered as he was talking in a low whisper on the phone.
Probably because he was inside her fucking house like a psychopath.
Right. Matt assumed that that meant he was watching the movie. Makes sense. You're in a movie theater. You're whispering.
Why would you answer the phone, though? But whatever, I get it.
This would be the last time anyone would see Cassie alive at all. 2 days later, on September 24th, which is weird that it's 2 days later, but we'll get into that. 2 days later, on September 24th, the Contreras family, which is her aunt and uncle, arrived home as planned. Frank and Allison's 13-year-old daughter was the first one to enter the home.
Yeah, wait, why was it 2 days later? Wait, does this girl not have parents?
She does, but she was supposed to be at the house the whole time. So she was supposed to be there.
You didn't, like, check up on your...
I guess not. Yeah, you don't check up. I guess because it was, 2006, I would still check up on my kid. But
yeah, we all had cell phones by then.
I don't know. Yeah, 2 days later.
All right, whatever.
So their 13-year-old daughter was the first to enter the home. The front door was unlocked, which she found strange, obviously. But she didn't think much of it. And then she went to the living room, where she began screaming. So her parents ran inside to see what happened. There is blood everywhere. On the carpet, on the furniture, on the floor. On the walls, everywhere. On the floor next to the couch lay the deceased body of Cassie Jo Stoddard. Frank called the police right away, obviously. Cassie's devastated mother and stepfather then soon arrived. Andrew Stoddard, which is her brother, later described his stepfather calling him, sobbing down the phone, saying that his sister had been murdered. Which is terribly sad.
Yeah.
Andrew said in a quote, "I dropped the phone and crumbled to the ground. I didn't even know how to process it. The word of murder spread quickly through the community."
Ooh,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I would assume.
Investigators quickly arrived on the scene and began processing it. The sheriff's department put the Contreras family up into a hotel.
I would never set foot back in that house ever fucking.
No, fuck no. For sale sign going up as the crime scene investigation is.
Like, yeah, exactly.
They could not find any signs of forced entry, suggesting that Cassie let her killer or killers into the house and that she likely knew them. Apart from the scene in the living room, the rest of the house appeared undisturbed. None of the Contreras' belongings were missing, which ruled out burglary as a motive. The dogs and cats had been locked up in a separate room, but were unharmed. Cassie's autopsy report revealed the sheer brutality of her attack. She had been stabbed 30 times in her chest, neck, back, and abdomen.
Jesus.
Yeah, between 9 and 12 of her stab wounds were fatal. She had defensive wounds on her hands and arms, and it was estimated that she had been dead for about 2 days when she was discovered, meaning she was murdered on Friday night.
Dun,
dun, dun. Wow. As is common in cases like this one, suspicions immediately fell on the boyfriend.
Obviously.
Matt was the last person to see Cassie alive. Furthermore, the attack was vicious and brutal. Obviously, stabbing 30 times is a bit much. And it's something usually seen in a frenzy attack perpetrated by someone who knew the victim, perhaps a romantic partner who flew into a rage. Matt was eager to help the investigation in any way he could. However, during questioning, he gave a detailed timeline of how he spent the evening and with whom. He detailed how Brian and Tori had been at the house, but had left early, and he told them about the phone call he made to his mom and wanting him to stay with Cassie at the house because he didn't want to leave her alone. But his mom picked him up, blah, blah, blah. You know, we don't...
Do you imagine being that mom? I feel so guilty. Like,
yeah.
You could have... Not that, like, it's her fault, because obviously...
Right, no.
But, like, you could have...
Stopped it,
prevented that, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because the... Not to jump ahead, but the boyfriend didn't know, right?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, no, he didn't know. So he spent the... Basically, he says he spent the rest of the evening with his parents before he went to bed. And then he had the phone records to show his phone calls and texts. The following day, on Saturday the 23rd, he said he repeatedly called Cassie, but she never answered her phone. And Matt didn't have a car. I'm not really sure if he, like, knew how to drive or... Because he's only 16, so... So he needed to get car rides everywhere, which means, like, he couldn't really just, like, show up at the... And he's, like, in a rural area, like they said, so...
It'd be far.
Right. Yeah. Investigators were quite sure that Matt was not responsible for Cassie's murder, because of, you know, his timeline, the phone records, the alibi from his parents, and his cooperation with the investigation. It made them pretty confident that he wasn't involved, but they pressed him hard, bearing in mind that that him being the boyfriend made him a good suspect.
Right.
But the more that they questioned him, the more the suspicions were lifted. They asked him more questions about his friends, Brian and Tori. Matt told them that he was better friends with Tori and that Cassie had been friends with them, but they weren't that close. He had told them that both boys had shown interest in Cassie and had flirted with her, but, like, obviously.
Yeah.
You know.
Boys being boys.
Right. Yeah. On September 25th, 2006, Brian and Tori were brought to the station to be questioned. The two boys were led to separate rooms along with their parents, because they were 16, that's why they were allowed to have their parents with them.
Well, yeah, they're minors.
Right. Both of them sat for several interviews with investigators over the next, like, few days. Before speaking with the investigators, Tori told his mother that he had been with Cassie, Matt, and Brian that night, but had nothing to do... had nothing to do with Cassie's murder. Tori's mother, of course, did not want to believe that her son could be capable of murder.
As one would.
So she didn't question anything like that. As the questioning from the investigators progressed, the two boys became increasingly frazzled.
Oh.
As one would. Yeah. and were unable to keep their story straight. They explained that they left the house and then they went to the movie theater, but they had nothing to prove that they were there.
Like a movie ticket?
Right. Exactly. You say you're going to a movie, fucking produce
and
a ticket.
And then there was actual tickets.
Right. So. Brian originally said that they went to see the movie Pulse. But when asked to describe the plot of the movie, he couldn't. So
you didn't even look it up on, like, IMDb right. Like, before you fucking went, like, right. A synopsis.
Come on. And then
smart if you're gonna go kill somebody. Jesus.
Literally. On September 27th, 2006, 3 days after Cassie's body was discovered, Brian cracked. He told investigators what happened that night, but he didn't actually, like, exactly confess. He basically said that Tori murdered Cassie.
I mean, obviously, you're going to sell the other one.
Right. Brian's story went like this. He and Tori went to Cassie's that night. While she was giving them a tour, he unlocked the back door to the basement and so that he and Tori can re-enter later. After watching a part of the movie with Matt and Cassie, he and Tori left, telling the other two that they were going to go to the movie theater, but never actually left the property. Instead, they went outside for about 10 minutes. This is, you know, it's, you know.
He's the one saying it, so you know if it actually happened.
Right. Yeah. It's believed that this is when they went to Tori's car and they put on Halloween masks and gloves and grabs the knives that they brought along with them. They then went back into the house via the unlocked basement door and hid in a small room where the circuit breaker was located. They turned the power off at the circuit breaker in hopes that this would lure Matt and or Cassie into the basement so that they could scare, quote unquote, them.
So does that mean that they didn't care which fucking person they killed?
No, I think that, so what from what I'm reading right now, Brian thought he was just going to be scaring them.
Brian thought.
So from the, because this is Brian's story of what happened.
Okay.
So they were going to come down in the basement.
And be like, matters,
yeah, and it was going to scare them.
Okay.
Right. But when they never came back down, they turned, what they thought they did was they turned all the lights back on, but they must not have.
They only turned, like,
you know. Channel. You know, sometimes with those circuit breakers, like.
You have to turn sometimes each one of them
right.
On. Right. Yeah.
Brian and Tori then stayed in the basement, and it wasn't totally clear whether they knew if Matt left, but I'm sure, like, they heard the door open, and
Goodbye, whatever.
They messed around with the circuit breaker more, hoping that someone would come down to investigate, but when no one came, Brian said that Tori ran up the stairs and began stabbing Cassie.
Just, like, fucking willy-nilly, like...
Yeah.
Well, that's what he said.
Right. And this is kind of where the story gets to get a little bit unclear, because the boys are, like, actively turning on each other. So, like, Brian's saying one thing, Tori's saying the other thing.
Do you ever get the Salah story?
I don't think we ever probably will.
Well, have you... Again, not to skip ahead, but you've seen the video, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like, from that, like, you can't even tell, like...
Right. You have, like, no idea. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a little weird, but, you know. So in Brian's fourth interview with investigators, he told them that Tori was the first to stab Cassie. He did stab her in the leg and the chest, but this was only because Tori was threatening him to do so.
Brian stabbed her in the leg and the chest.
But he's saying
Tori said
Got it. Because according to Tori, Cassie was gonna die anyway. Now Tori could no longer claim that he was innocent.
Right.
So he had to, it was up. His gig was up.
Yeah.
He was saying that it was all Brian's idea, and that he didn't really know what was happening, and that he thought they were just gonna scare Cassie. He insisted that he believed that they were making a movie, like the Wes Craven's classic horror flick Scream. This is why they wore the scary masks and why they were menacing. They had the menacing looking knives.
I was gonna say isn't this called the Scream murder?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. They were planning to make the slasher film of their own, and that was all. That's what they're planning on doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was Tori's. This is why, because it was Tori's explanation of why the murder. That's why it became known as the Scream murder.
Yeah. Because they were, like, really into horror movies and movies in general.
Right. And they, and like you said, they were recording the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's creepy. When they were in the basement, Tori said he was too scared to go upstairs, and when he did go up, eventually, he said Brian was up there and he had stabbed Cassie to death. Obviously, the blame game did not work out for either of them.
Right.
As the investigators were about to come up, come across the jackpot of evidence.
Didn't they, like, bury everything? Or is this the video?
This is the bury.
Yeah.
I was trying to read where, like, what part of it was. Yeah. So Brian led investigators to Black Rock Canyon, where he and Tori had taken evidence from the crime scene that connected them to the murders, including the knives that they had used to stab Cassie. They recovered close to 24 items from the spot that Brian led them to. It included, I'm not going to list all of them, but it included a pair of black boots, rubber gloves, black gloves, 4 different knives, Halloween-style masks, a Sony videotape, and a camera. So it, like, basically was everything.
Yeah.
Several of the items were partially burned, and one was a handwritten note. Given the burn marks, they couldn't make out exactly what it said, but it appeared to be detail to some of the plans of their murder.
I don't understand why people who kill people write things down.
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense.
Like, I'm not,
like, why would you do that?
Why are you writing it down?
Yeah. This is stupid.
Like,
they were able to decipher something about the possibility of killing Matt if he was still at the house. Stupid. As investigators would find out from examining the camera, Brian and Tori, like I said, consider themselves budding filmmakers and were interested in making documentary-style films.
Also, first of all, the footage...
so cringeworthy.
You would have thought that you were filming it on a fucking Nintendo DS.
Yeah.
Like, it was...
I mean, it's very 2006. Like...
it's worse,
yeah,
though.
Like, yeah. We could put it up in the TikTok. There we go.
Nailed it.
Yep. We'll put it up so you guys can see. where am I at? They were subjects of their own movies going around documenting their everyday lives.
Yeah.
On top of Brian's confession, it was the boys, It was what the boys talked about in the films that really cemented the investigators' beliefs about their guilt, obviously. The videos of interest were filmed between 8 p.m. on September 21st, the evening before the murder, mm-hmm. and 11:31 p.m. on September 22nd, the evening of the after the murder. So, like, the day before and then the day after. You can read, oh, wait, no, what? Oh, I'm gonna read, duh. I'm like, what? I'm gonna read some of the things they said, like, in a little bit. like, where am I at? Okay. So, this was recorded on September 21st, 2006, at 8:36 p.m. Tori is driving and Brian is in the passenger seat filming, so I'm setting the scene for you guys.
Beautiful.
Brian. So, I'm like, this is...
like, dialogue.
Picture me. Yeah, there we go. We found our victim, and as sad as it may be, she's our friend. But you know what? We all have to make sacrifices. Our first victim is going to be Cassie Stoddard and her friends.
Can I just... I just need to pause already.
Sure, go ahead.
First of all, he's like, oh my god, as sad as it is.
Right.
Fuck you.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, were they planning on killing more people?
It sounds like it, because he said and first. Her friends.
And
well,
he said,
right.
Yeah, like...
Right. Yeah, that's a little creepy.
Then were you going to kill your friend, Matt? Like, what
right.
the fuck? Like,
right. Well, okay. he said, the next line is, we'll find out if she has friends over, if she's going to be alone in a big dark house out in the middle of nowhere, how perfect can I get? I mean, like, holy shit, dude. Tori, I'm horny just thinking about it. I don't like that. I do not like that. And they laughed after saying that. So
vomit.
Yeah. Tori, we'll go down in history. We're gonna...
fucking A.
You sure did, bud. Because here I am in 2022... cringing at the fact that you said you were horny thinking about that.
I don't like you saying that word, so if you could never say it again, that'd be great.
Sorry. Alright. Tori, we're gonna go down in history. We're gonna be just like the screen, except real life terms. That sounds good, baby.
Ooh.
Brian.
Spicy.
We're gonna be murderers. Like, let's see, Ted Bundy. Like the Hillside Strangler. Tori, no.
That is just not good people
normal.
To look up to.
Yeah. Brian, the Zodiac Killer. Tori, those people were more amateurs compared to what we're gonna be. Ted Bundy! Like, comparing yourself to Ted Bundy when you killed one person.
Also that, and like you're 17. Can we calm down for a second?
Seriously.
It's fucking like, you're acting like you're like the notorious VIP.
Right.
Like,
hold
like,
on.
Chill
seriously.
Out.
And then this next little part I'm gonna read is from September 22nd, the day of the murder, just before 8:30 a.m. So they're at school, and they approach Cassie at her locker.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Brian says, hey, look, it's Cassie. Hello, Cassie. Cassie, hello. Brian, laughing, I'm getting you on tape. Okay, say hi, please. Cassie, hi. Around noon the same day, the boys are sitting at a table and the camera is facing them. Tori, he's looking down, writing in a notebook. I was planning to kill him. Brian, September 22nd, 2006. We're skipping our fourth hour class. We're writing our plan right now for tonight. It's going to be cool. Tori, still writing. We're making our death list right now for tonight. Brian, hopefully this will go smoothly and we can get our first kill done and then keep going. Tori, for your future serial killing killers watching this tape. Tori, hopefully you don't have like 8 or 9 failures like we have. So,
wait,
yeah.
What? Why don't I remember that?
Yeah, it's just Tori. Hopefully you don't have like 8 or 9 failures like we had. So they tried to kill 8 or 9
what,
people.
What, they pussy out?
Yeah.
I mean, good.
And then
but
it says, Brian says, yeah, we've probably tried maybe 10 times, but they've never been home alone. So, or... And then Tori says, or when they have, their parents showed up. Brian.
Wait, can you imagine?
No, I can't. And I'm probably going to be scared to go home now. Just thinking about this.
Well, we don't have friends, so we're fine.
True. You're right. Actually, accurate.
At least in regards to this.
Yeah.
We're good.
Brian says, as long as you're patient, you know... And we were patient, and now we're getting paid off, because our victim's home alone, and Oh, wait. Our victim's home alone, so we got our plan all worked out now. He goes on to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Cassie's family, but she had to be the one. We have to stick to the plan. We have to stick with the plan, and she's perfect, so she's gonna die. The next little bit was taken at the same day at 9:53 p.m. It is dark, and the two of them are sitting near the house. Brian, we're here in his car. The time is 9:50, September 22nd, 2006. Unfortunately, we have the grueling task of killing our two friends, and they are right in that house just down the street.
I just don't understand. Unfortunately, we have the grueling task. Who the fuck are you, Marilyn Monroe? Like, cut the act, bro. Right, like, what are you not, saying?
Yeah,
they're... Like, you're being so dramatic for... you're gonna go kill somebody.
Right. Just, he's like, making it... He's you? Making it like this is, like, his, like... Like a fucking, mission from God.
It's literally like he's like giving like a fucking soliloquy, right, like right. At a Broadway play. Like, doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, what is? Oh my God, that just made me so angry.
It did. It did, but it's okay. It's fine. And then Tori said, "We just talked to them. We were there for an hour." Brian, we checked out the whole house. I unlocked the back doors. It's all unlocked. Now we just got to wait. We're really nervous right now, but you know we're ready. And then it turns to 11:31. Tori and Brian are back in the car. Tori is driving. Brian is filming. Brian, just killed Cassie. We just left her house. This is not a fucking joke. Tori, I'm shaking. Brian, I stabbed her in the throat and I saw her lifeless body. It just disappeared. Dude, I just killed Cassie. I'm gonna repeat that. Dude, I just killed Cassie. On video, he admitted to killing her. Brian.
Okay.
Tori says, oh my God. Brian, oh fuck. That felt like that wasn't even real. I mean, it went by so fast. Tori, shut the fuck up. We gotta get our act straight. Brian, it's okay? We'll just buy the movie tickets now. Okay.
And then they just didn't.
Yeah, no. So now I'm going back to, like, the case. I'm done talking.
But. I like they were like, oh, fuck, what did we do? While still holding a camera.
Right.
How stupid are you?
They're absolutely idiots. The other items recovered at the Black Rock Canyon were taken to the lab for forensic analysis. The partially burned black gloves were soaked with blood, and DNA testing showed the blood was Cassie's, obviously. Her blood was also present on a black-handled serrated knife, and Tori's DNA was discovered on one of the masks. Brian and Tori were tried separately for the murder of Cassie. Brian's trial began in early April of 2007, and Tori's began on May 31st, 2007, so, like, just a month apart.
Does it say why they were tried separately, or just because they're two different people?
It doesn't, but I think probably because they were two separate people, and I think because they were trying to probably get the most out of,
like, what they could.
Yeah. They were each charged with one count of murder in the first degree, and one count of conspiracy to commit murder in the first degree, so murder for Cassie and then, Matt. It was decided that due to the gruesome, horrific nature of the murder, they would be tried as adults. A friend of Tori's, 18-year-old Joe Lucero testified at both trials that around August 31st of 2006, he received a call from Tori asking if he would buy some knives for him. Together, Tori, Joe, and Brian went to a local pawn shop to buy the knives. So he had to buy the knives because he was 18.
Right.
On the way, they stopped at an ATM so Brian could withdraw the money. Brian provided $40 for the knives, and Tori provided $5. Sorry, I don't know why that made me laugh. Tori chose one knife, and Brian chose three.
See, this is why fucking in England you gotta register your knives.
Right.
Because shit.
Really?
Like this. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The medical examiner who performed Cassie's autopsy testified that it appeared Cassie had been stabbed with different knives. For example, a serrated knife and then a dagger-style knife, both could have been used. Oh, we're almost done. 200 pages. That's a lot for me. I did good.
It is a lot for you. Oh, an hour.
Really? Wow. I'm doing good. So obviously Brian didn't really leave his defense team much to work with.
No shit, because he went, I just killed Cassie on right, video. Right. What the fuck is the defense team going to see?
Yeah. Given his confession, his leading evidence, and not only did he say, dude, I just killed Cassie, he led them to the evidence. So.
Yeah, and I was also the first one to be like, ah, we may have killed her.
Right, right. Tori, on the other hand, stuck to his defense at the trial that he didn't know that Brian was actually planning to murder Cassie. He thought that the whole thing was part of the movie that they were, their movie, including the films that were made before him, buying the knives. He thought that was all part of the sure. Yeah. Sure, I don't really know. I don't think so, because I think there would be more fight put up if, like, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like.
Yeah. Like, maybe call in the cops after they did it, not waiting 2 days, like, you know.
No, they didn't wait 2 days. Well, yeah, true. Yeah.
True. Both of the boys' defense attorneys attempted to have the videos made inadmissible in court, and, yeah.
For what, bitch?
I don't know. and tried to have the trial moved. So basically they said because the videos were public type of thing. I'm starting to get comfy again, but it's okay. We're on the last page. I guess because they were already public, they didn't want them to become like part of trial.
No.
Oh, no. Sorry. That's why they wanted the trial moved, because the videos like.
Got out.
Yeah. Like, everyone was watching Brian and Tori film about the murders and brag about it, whatever. But
so you couldn't find, like, an unbiased jury right. At that point.
But I don't believe that it happened, they were able to use the videos in court, so it wasn't, yeah.
Big piece of evidence. When he literally went, oh, we killed Cassie. Yeah.
Stupid. The prosecution in both trials claimed that the boys' motive for murdering Cassie was fame and notoriety. Can you say that word for me?
I would have said notability, but
I can't say it. Do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're trying to say.
I just can't say that word. Notoriety? Notoriety. You know, I'm sure you guys fucking know what I mean.
They wanted people to know their name.
Yeah, right.
They wanted to be known for something.
Right.
There we go.
They used their own words against them from the tape, obviously. in which they said they were going to be famous, like infamous, like Ted Bundy and the Hillside Strangler. It also came out in trial that Brian was fascinated with the Columbine High School shooters.
Yes, it's a red flag.
Yeah. Who was Dylan Kilbob and Kilbold and Eric Harris. He felt as though he could relate to them. Because like them, he had always felt like an outcast. And he aspired to create chaos and destruction of the same.
Yeah, it's fucking good.
Yes, insane. On April 17th, 2007, Brian Draper was found guilty on the first-degree murder and conspiracy to commit murder in the first degree. On June 8th, 2007, Tori was also found guilty on both charges. On August 21st, 2007, both boys were sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, plus 30 years, so they're literally never gonna end up.
You know what? I never understood that.
Yeah.
Like, why they do shit like that. My case has something like that, too. It's like...
It doesn't make sense.
You get life without parole, plus right. more. Like, what is that? You're already getting life, right. and you're not able to get parole, right. so...
It's like the death sentence, basically.
Yeah, why do you need to add the 30
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. I never get... I don't get sentences. Like, they just don't make sense to
life,
me.
Life, okay. I get
how
it.
You,
life.
How do you pick what, like, somebody's gonna, you know...
Well, it's it depends on what they do.
Well, that's true. I know that, but, I don't know. It just blows my mind.
I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Both boys appealed their convictions with different degrees of determination. It seems as though Brian was more accepting of his punishment, while Tori continued to claim his innocence. Tori's family was firmly behind him at this time and is continuing to still stay behind him.
It is his family, right? So.
They have supported him emotionally and financially. Oh, I did not remember this. His mother, Shannon Adamick, has written a book about her son and his experience about being treated as an adult despite being a juvenile at the time of his crime.
Yeah, but he was, like, barely a juvenile. Though he was 17. Or 16, right?
He was 16.
Yeah, okay, so you're one year away.
Right. So if you guys want to read that, I don't know the name of it, so I can't tell you that, but just look it up.
okay.
The attorneys have both filed, for both boys filed appeals to the Idaho Supreme Court. Brian was seeking to have his conviction vacated or to be given a limited life sentence, which would allow him to be released on parole if he was approved after 30 years. His attorney, Molly Husky, says that her client's immaturity and poor judgment were partially attributable to his youth at the time of this crime, and he deserves a chance for release. She also said the jury received erroneous instructions, like they received the wrong instructions.
Okay.
The appeal was denied by the court, but they did throw out the conspiracy convictions on the grounds that the juror was given the wrong instructions.
Right.
So he basically has just life in prison. I forgot I have a whole other backside. I was like, wait, that doesn't make sense. As for Tori's appeal, his attorney, Dennis Benjamin, specified 8 different points of concerns with his client's conviction. He argued that Tori's sentence is cruel and unusual punishment, given he was just 16 at the time of the murder. Doesn't matter. You still fucking murdered someone. You know that
murder's wrong by the age of 16. I'm like, what the fuck? Sorry.
He also said that there was a lack of evidence that proved that Tori actually stabbed Cassie, or that any stab wound he may have inflicted was a deadly wound. So he was pretty much saying that, yes, he could have stabbed her, but that could not have killed her. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah, but, like...
Which is... It's a stretch, but I understand because he's his lawyer trying to get him out of... Straws, right.
Yeah.
The appeal was not granted, and both of Tori's convictions were upheld.
Wow. So, no way.
That sucks. That sucks for him because from the sounds of, like, the evidence and, like, the videos, it sounds like Brian was more of, like, the, like, perpetrator.
Person, yeah.
And Tori was the one who got stuck with life and 30 years.
Yeah, but, like...
Because your lawyer didn't do...
Well, your lawyer sucks, and also maybe don't hang out with people that praise the Columbine.
I'm not saying, like, he doesn't deserve it, yeah. But, like, still. In July of 20... So, okay. He wasn't giving up after that conviction. So, in July of 2015, he was granted a hearing for post-conviction relief as a result of his attorney claiming that his former attorney did not call character witnesses who could have changed the outcome of the sentencing. Mm-hmm. The judge was willing to entertain the hearing, but in March of 2016, his request for a post-conviction relief was denied. He appealed this decision to the Idaho Supreme Court, and then in 2017, the Supreme Court rejected the appeal. Then Tori appealed the state Supreme Court decision, and then the U.S. Magistrate Judge Candy Dale ruled in 2019 that the evidence supports his murder conviction and that the state Supreme Court did not err in affirming his life sentence without parole. In May of 2020, he appealed his latest ruling by the Judge Dale in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And obviously, there has been no ruling on that as I could find.
Right.
So, I guess I should talk about her aunt and uncle and how they survived since all this.
Okay.
They've only, after the murder,
I didn't really think about, like...
How they, like, you know, they fucking lived in that. So, before her murder, they were only living there for about a year before she was, like, murdered. After returning to the house, once it was no longer a crime scene, they had repainted the entire house and put a new carpet. They tried to make the place feel like a home again, but the painful memories continued to linger. No fucking... Obviously. No duh. They knew that they would no longer, but they would never experience joy and the joy that that house brought them again, obviously. Emotional toll hit Allison hard, which is, the aunt. She said she'd lost her job and fell into a depression. The daughter who found Cassie's body had a breakdown.
Therapy for the rest of her life.
She attempted suicide.
Yeah. Because that was her cousin. Like,
right. Right. Shit. Andrew's daughter, which is her brother, spoke to the Idaho State Journal in 2016, 10 years after his sister's murder. He explained how everyone was affected differently by the murder, and it took them years before they could really talk about it. It did hit their mother particularly, Anna particularly hard, obviously. Mm-hmm. He said, while everything felt dark for a long time, the loss of his sister did bring us some perspective about his life, about life, he said. He said, it makes you appreciate things a lot more. You never know how fragile life is. You never know how easy it is for someone to be gone the next day. As for whether he could forgive his sister's killers, he said that he could not. Obviously. Yeah. Every time a new court date comes up related to another appeal, which I never thought about this, like, every time an appeal is brought up,
they
like,
have to go back to court.
Yeah, their wounds are, like, reopened. Yeah. They say that they kind of just want to move forward with their lives. They don't want to sit in the courtroom anymore and see Brian Draper and Tori on the news. Andrew said, quote, we love her. It's always going to be a part of us. It's not like it's ever going to go away. It's always on the back of our minds, but we focus on keeping our family strong instead of focusing on the bad. We focus on the good and when she was, we focus on the good and when she was still around. Nobody should ever have to go through this, end quote.
So, damn.
Yeah. Spitting some truth on you right there on that last one.
For real, though. I couldn't even fucking imagine.
So. Yeah, no. That's...
I think, like, if, like, God forbid, like, I would...
Yeah.
There would... I
don't think I would... Yeah. No.
If, like, my brother died.
Yeah. No. No.
There would be no reason for me to fucking live.
Oh,
like,
Jesus Christ,
Bridget. I'm being serious. Like, genuinely, like...
Relax. Don't say that.
No, but for real. Like, think about that.
You don't think I don't think about that?
No, what I'm saying, like, it's like...
Yeah.
I don't know how, like, somebody would recover from that.
I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
Like, well, because I think about it because my sister's a cop. So, I think about that all the time. I also think about it my mom. Sorry, I'm moving this thing. Like, if my mom was to die,
I genuinely don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
It's I don't even
like,
think about it.
No. Well, why are we talking about this?
I don't know. You have to end it with fucking
okay,
whatever
sorry.
The hell.
Sorry. Don't fucking pretend to be scream and kill someone. That's the moral of the story. That's all I got for you. Did I make you sad?
I mean, we're talking about murder. This is what we do. And I knew this case.
Normally we don't get this sad, so I'm sorry.
I mean, it is sad. I mean, obviously it's sad, but also these two are fucking psychopaths.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean,
both of them. Yeah. Not just one of them.
They both were pretty crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
You fucking, like, look up to a horror movie, you absolute moon.
And fucking videotape the fact that you're killing someone. Come on.
That bothers me so much.
They're idiots. Absolutely idiots.
That one, oh my god, when he said,
yeah.
When he says, like,
I killed him.
Unfortunately, we just have to. No, the fuck you didn't, you piece of shit.
I have to watch the video again, because I don't remember. I watched it, like, so long ago that I don't remember his voice, and I'm sure it would fucking kill
me.
They,
like, have, like, high-pitched voice.
Yeah, like, because they're fucking 16 and not, you know. Ooh, sorry. Do you think they could have heard that?
Probably.
Sorry. Oh, and you're going to have to listen back to that.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's okay. Well... Okay, well, that was my case for you guys. I hope you enjoyed
that
it.
That was long.
All right, well, follow us on Instagram.
FIB Podcast.
Hit us on Facebook.
Futures Bright Podcast.
Send us a Gmail.
Futuresbrightpod@gmail.com.
Hit us up on TikTok.
FIB Podcast.
Wow, I threw that at you and you remembered it.
Damn
Look
right.
At you.
I'm good like that. I don't tell you.
Follow us on YouTube. Subscribe
That's
to our YouTube.
That's FIB Podcast, but there's nothing on there.
Yeah, there's nothing on there, but it's okay. I'm still going to plug it, you know? Why not? And that's all I got for you guys this time.
Pretty much.
Love you, bye.
Hasta luego.
Peace out.